Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
How many of you ever heard of the Bucket Brigade? You ever hear of the Bucket Brigade? Do you know what the Bucket Brigade is? Phil Schreier, I'm going to ask you. Stand up, Phil. I'm putting you on the spot. No apology. Do you know what the Bucket Brigade is? Aaron, would you stand up?
That's a rural fire.
Do you know what a Bucket Brigade is?
Yes, I do.
You do?
Yes.
What is the Bucket Brigade?
Bucket Brigade is what they used to have when they had a fire in town. They didn't have no engines. They had a bucket to bucket them to put on the fire.
I knew that.
Picking on these two guys because they're firemen, volunteer firemen, and hey, you were like fireman of the year or whatever last year, weren't you? We better look at their requirements. I don't know what they're. No, I'm kidding you. Having fun with you two guys. Yeah, the Bucket Brigade. If you didn't quite hear them, to help you with some imagery. Have you ever watched any of the old westerns? Maybe black and white, where all of a sudden they're in town and there's one of the houses or one of the buildings and it's up in flames, and all of a sudden people are running and getting buckets and they're all lined up and they're passing bucket to bucket and throwing the bucket on the fire. That's the Bucket Brigade. That's what it is. And of course, back then they had round buckets. And I always wanted to do that.
Confetti.
No, confetti, are you kidding? Tony'd have my head. She's the one that vacuums this place. The Bucket Brigade. That's right. This one does have water in it. It's only water. I want to read something to you from Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, you can turn. If you don't have a Bible with you, in the pew rack in front of you, you will see a Bible. It's black in its cover. You can pull that out. You can follow along there if you want. If you don't have a Bible, I want you to know that Bible in the pew rack, I want you to know that you can take that and keep that. I want you to know that that's there for you. You can keep that. That's a gift to you. And it's not even a gift from New Life. That's a gift from God to you. Because He wrote it. And if you have a friend, I'm going to go a little further. You have a friend who doesn't have a Bible, but you know that they need one or they want one. Okay? You listen to this. You know that they're at a place where they're ready to receive. They're actually wanting to read the Scripture. I don't mean just give it as a gift to somebody and they're not doing anything. But you have somebody you've been maybe sharing the gospel with, a friend, a neighbor, a family member, something like that. And I want you to know that if you want to take that Bible and you want to give it to them, you go ahead and do that, okay? And that's what they're there for. And we start running short on replacing them, you know what? We're going to buy more. And we want them not to be an ornament in the pew. God forbid. So you can take it. Anyhow, Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want to read something. And these verses will maybe be familiar to a lot of you. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. We'll start there. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. That's really the founding verse for a Bucket Brigade. It's talking about that which you have been given. Take it. And you got to pass it on to somebody. He says, you write these things down. He says, you talk about these commandments. As you live these commandments, live them with your children. Live these things before them. We could take it in the whole context of New Testament because the word is true. Live out these things not just in front of your children and your family, but live them out in front of your friends, your community. I tell you what, it's a terrible thing to be the one on the porch or the doorway of the house in flames and be handed a bucket with nothing in it. Some of you in this room, you have been handed a bucket with little or nothing in it. Maybe by your parents or your family. And that's not a criticism to your family. That's not harsh. But some of you, when you look honestly at your life, you're saying, you know, there was nothing really passed on to me that would help put out a fire or destruction in my life or someone else's life. Not much has really been passed on to me that would be something of the Lord or something of God or some biblical principle. You see, we've been given these commandments, these instructions, this word of life. And we're supposed to be able to take that and pass it on. Because our children, just like us, they've got things that are trying to destroy their life, burn their life up. We have got friends, you and I, who there are things in their life that are just taking their lunch money. They got things in their life that are destroying them and hurting them. And who's going to rescue them? Who's going to show up? Who has something to pass them something? Pass on to them the commandments of God, the life of God, the will of God, the compassion of God. The keys to success in passing on a full bucket. It's not about just having a bucket of doctrines. I'm going to tell you that. It's important we believe the right thing, and doctrines are important. Don't you walk out of here and think, I don't have to study the Scripture. I don't have to know about salvation. I don't have to know about sanctification. I don't have to know these. Of course we do. But if all we're doing is passing on information, then we're not really passing on the fullness or the truth of God. Because it's not just about a list. It's not just about do's and don'ts. You see, when it talks about they should write it on the door frames of their house, Jesus talks about that in the book of Matthew. He uses it as a prelude to the seven woes, where he goes, woe unto you. In other words, trouble unto you and judgment unto you because you have done this. Right before he goes into those woes, he talks about the phylacteries, the things, this little metal container, wooden container that hold the commands of God. They would write them on a little piece and they would put them in and they would have these in their door frames. And he says, yeah, you make them so they're deep and they're wide and they protrude. And so when people see them, they think, whoa, really spiritual. And then he goes into the woes. You do these things and yet you don't practice what you got on your door frame. You see, it's one thing to have a bucket filled with doctrines. But what brings life to the doctrines? It's His Spirit that brings life. It is the experience, the personal experience, when the doctrines come alive. Otherwise, it's a list. And it's a good list. And it's a God-breathed list. And that list and those doctrines and those creeds, the Spirit wrote them. But if we handle them as a creed or just a belief without the experience of the doctrine, without the experience, then you know what? We're not passing anything on. We're not passing anything on that will bring transformation. Listen, sinners, we do not repent. And I say we. Sinners, we do not repent because someone lectures us on how we're supposed to change. The information is good. But without the Holy Spirit grabbing my heart, I will not be transformed.
That's right.
You and I do things all the time that we know, we have knowledge of, that is not good for us. It is until it gets into our heart. You see, that's the only way the bucket's full. Is when it gets into our heart, we have something to pass on. See, my part as a dad is, yes, to teach the Scripture and live the Scripture with my children and live together in daily life. But unless the Holy Spirit breathes, unless the Spirit is in us, we're not passing on a bucket that's going to help them put out the fires in their life. We as a church, we can do some nice things, but unless God breathes on it, it is futile. Concerned about a scripture from Deuteronomy? How is it relevant? We concern ourselves with relevance in these days. Our general superintendent, I'm going to share some thoughts. General Superintendent Dr. George Wood, General Superintendent of the Assemblies of God. He's the man who is in the leadership position for our denomination, our fellowship. I'm going to share some thoughts that he has written with you this morning. I'm going to pass them on to you. But concern for relevance from this Old Testament scripture. I want you to understand, everybody understand, young and old, and every one of us in between. I want you to know that culture changes. Dress styles change. Some of you don't know that. Keep wearing it, because it keeps coming back. Ain't that right? Music changes. The way we do church changes. But one thing that never changes is His Word, His principles, the belief, the doctrine. But those doctrines mean very little other than correctness. Mean very little until we experience, life experience, heart experience, the doctrine. You see, as a parent, I can talk it. Do my best with God's help to live it, but unless the Spirit breathes on it, unless the Spirit grabs my kids' hearts, our friends, your friends and mine, who face difficulty, things are burning up right before them, burning up, down, being destroyed, becoming ash. Do we have a full bucket to hand them? What have they observed or seen or sensed in our life? What are we trying to pass on to them? On Wednesday nights, we've been going through looking at revivalists from the last 100, 150 years. We've been looking at different people each week, and it's based on what our cry and our desire is in these recent days of Habakkuk and his prayer of, you know, Lord, we've heard of your fame and we stand in awe of your deeds. Oh, Lord, renew them in our day, in our time make them known. In your wrath, remember mercy. And we've been quoting that around here as a congregation. We've been going over these revivalists. It's interesting that even in some of these revivalists, they would speak against certain things and certain doctrines, and then when they experienced them, it came alive to them. There were some who rebuked people for speaking in tongues or responding to the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the initial physical evidence of tongues. They would stop them, they would rebuke them. And then when they were baptized, according to the Scripture, with the evidence, the proof that the baptism of the Spirit has happened in their life, all of a sudden things changed. Revelation upon revelation, truth upon truth, but never changing. Just discovery for us. And we get concerned about things that are new. See, some have the attitude in church that if anything is new, it can't be good. Or it can't be true. Because obviously, I would have known it by now. We laugh. But deep inside, that's our inhibition. As if we know or we have tasted all that there is. And for others, they're on the other end of the spectrum. Anything that's, Dr. Wood says, anything that's 4 years old, to them, it's old. It's irrelevant. It's outdated. And we've got to watch ourselves on both ends of the spectrum. Understanding that styles and things change. But the principles, the things in our doorframe, the things that are on tablets around our neck, the beliefs and the doctrines, they never change. But if all we're handing is the creed, and we are not people of the Spirit who wrote the creed, then we're not passing out life. You can feel good about knowing the truth. But I want you to know that if we just believe the creed and we don't involve ourselves in the mission and the keeping in step with the Spirit, I want you to know that the chances are we've fallen asleep. That's the truth. Dr. Wood, he puts it this way. He wrote seven things. I'm just going to mention a couple on his list that says, you know you've fallen asleep if. He says, you know you've fallen asleep if you rely on intellectual prowess rather than being knowledgeable with the information and the experience of the Holy Spirit and Christ and the Father. It's not just about information. Hey, if it's just about information and memorizing the Scripture, then every Bible quizzer would be on fire for Christ. But the fact of the matter is, there have been some great Bible quizzers, district champs, national champs, who are as backslidden as you can get. They got the information. But it's when information becomes experiential. Then the bucket's full. What are we passing on? As a parent, we toil. As grandparents, we can toil. And I've watched it with parents. I've watched it as a pastor. I watched it when I worked closely with parents and teenagers in all the years that I was in youth ministry. I watched it. I watched parents, and they try to just control their teenager. And they just remove everything out of their life. And certainly there's times to remove things. There's times to, you know, rescue them when they can't rescue themselves. But I want you to know, controlling their environment doesn't bring a transformation to their heart. We need God's Spirit. I need God's Spirit in me. Like I said, we do things all the time that we know are not good for us, and we have the information, but until it drops into our heart. Dr. Wood says this, you know you're asleep if we rely upon programs, church growth, mission statements, vision statements, all the pizzazz, with very little prayer and with very little reliance on the Holy Spirit. I watched it happen. I know churches that I've been on staff at. I know churches that I've preached at. I've watched it. I watched youth ministries take off and go from, you know, 30, 50 kids to 300 kids. I watched it. Everybody's excited. And it's wild and it's good and it's great. And they built it on events. They built it on excitement and hype of events. And I want you to know, excitement and hype have a purpose. And when it's attached to a purpose, when emotions are attached to a purpose, it is not emotionalism. It is good. But when it's just to get a bunch in, and we call it evangelism, and we've not given them the gospel, and we've not discipled them, and there's no reliance on prayer, and there's no reliance on the Holy Spirit, all it is a big event that got a bunch of people into the church, and now you can turn in your report to the national office and say, woohoo, we really grew. And now you can write down some thoughts in a book and put your name on it and sell it, and you're like the guru. I've watched it happen. And I've watched those teenagers go through that, and when it's over, it's over. It's done. Gone. No foundation. No reliance. Yeah, we should use programs, and yeah, we should do events, and yeah, we should, all of those things, but not without the reliance of the Holy Spirit. If that's the case, we're handing them a bucket of nothingness. Until we hand them principle and experience. That's what will bring faithful disciples. So when God breathes, and a heart responds, and a life is transformed, we still need to teach the right things. We still need to quote the right things. But if we think just teaching it and quoting it is going to transform lives, we're mistaken. I'm sorry to say, but I have sat in the Bible college study room. I have been in the theology classes. I have been in the pastoral and the ministerial classes. I've gone through them. And boy, it was a lot of good information. But there was no spirit in it. And it was like passing out death to me. And I'm not being hard and I'm not being critical. I'm just telling you and reminding myself, as our general superintendent is reminding us, that we are falling asleep unless we become people of the Spirit and experience the doctrines. Unless our bucket is full, we are passing on nothing. Not a part of the bucket brigade. Passing on a bucket that has very little in it. He says something to leadership on, you know you're falling asleep. This is for leadership of the church. He says, you know you're falling asleep If you're more concerned about paying the church bills than reaching people. We all know paying bills are important. It's not that it's not important. It's not that the creed's not important. It's not that the doctrine's not important. It's just that the Spirit who wrote them and the heart of God has got to be in us. This isn't about coming to church and leaving. Paul writes this in Ephesians chapter 5, if you want to look there. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. Verse 13, Ephesians chapter 5. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. That is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, let Christ shine on you. Do you understand that we can know the doctrines forward and backwards and fall asleep? Spiritually? Come on, let's not kid ourselves. We all know what it is to go to church. This church, another church, whatever, doesn't matter. Every one of us knows this. I know it. That we can go to church and the right things can be said and the right things can be sung and there's no transformation, there's no spiritual work in me going on. It's dead. I'm dead. And yet we know the right stuff. We need to be people of the Spirit, the same Spirit that wrote the doctrines, and allow Him to expose the experience of the doctrines in our life. Believing the right thing is important. But it's not about believing the right thing. I can believe all day long that smoking for me is bad for my body. It doesn't mean that I'll quit. We could use all kinds of examples. If you're in this room and you smoke, this was not some little side note that says, you smoke, you're dirty, you're wrong. Don't you walk out of here with that. Because that's not what I'm telling you. Here's the side note of truth. So you don't walk out with a misperception. I have watched people get delivered of a lot of things over the years in ministry. I've watched it. I watch people get delivered on the spot. I watch people go out and struggle and win over things. And I'll tell you what, of all the other, sin is sin, all the other gross stuff that we can do, I've watched people get delivered. But I'll tell you what, one of the strongest holds on people is tobacco. And if you're here and you struggle with it, I want you to know something. If you really want to quit, don't you give up the battle. If you want to quit, don't you give up the battle. You let God breathe on you. You let Him rescue you. You let Him help you. You let Him pick you up, dust you off. Don't you walk under condemnation. Because it ain't coming from this pulpit. And it ain't coming from this pastor. And if you feel a conviction of the Holy Spirit about changing it, then respond and ask for His help and participate with Him. But don't you feel for one moment that you are second rate in this church because you struggle with tobacco. Because I'll tell you what bothers me more than your tobacco. It's all the side conversations of gossip and slander that go on. Woo! That's good preaching. Let me tell you something. How do we accomplish the mission of Christianity when we are warm in the church, but we're cold in the marketplace? That's bringing in some fake bucket on Sunday. And you smile, and you're nice to people, and woo-hoo-hoo. What about our bucket the rest of the week? What about our bucket in the marketplace? Well, that was Sunday, and I come in at my best because I want to look good, and I want people to come to our church and know that this is a nice place, and we are nice people. That's really nice for a first impression. But do you know that Monday through Saturday, they're watching you out at stores and businesses and at ball games? Yeah. Because that, when we are warm in the church and cold in the marketplace, then we're asleep. Because that's like giving them doctrines with no life of the Spirit. Come on Sunday, we'll give you the good show. But Monday through Saturday, I got news for you. People don't just come and stay or go just because of this pastor. Some might. But some would come and go at this place. Don't put the responsibility on me alone, because I'll tell you something. People come and go from this place because of their experience with you. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the preacher's the leader and he's up for... You're loving this, dude, because I'm shooting square. Boom! That's the kind of gospel you like. Because you're my brother. That's right, Mr. Ohm. Yeah. See, we can hand out the good stuff on Sunday. What about Monday through Saturday? We're going to give them the experience that goes along with what we proclaim. Hey, we all make mistakes. This preacher makes them. And some of it is just people's perception, and it's based upon a whole bunch of past experiences, and they're looking for someone to blame. I understand that. I understand that. I can smell that coming from a long ways away. In fact, there's a fragrance of it in this room at times. Hey, you want restoring and revival? I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to come and just play church. And you know what? Play somewhere else or talk to the board and they can just quietly dismiss me. But we don't want to play that here. You want to be people of the Spirit? You want to take Habakkuk chapter 3? You want to take it to heart? Then we got to look at our hearts. Amen. It's one thing to just crowd for miracles and great displays and things you want to stand in awe over. We want God to feel welcome in this place because he's got a bucket that has, it's got no bottom. There's no end. It is deep, eternity deep, that he wants to pass on to us. But what are we passing on? What are we giving away? What do we got on the door frames? What are we talking about? What are we allowing the experience to happen? I love the story of the person who kind of founded the Vineyard denomination. He went around, before it started, he went around looking for a church somewhere. And he was new, but he was honest, he was earnest. He just said, okay, this is really great. When do we do the good stuff? And the pastor said, what good stuff? What do you mean the good stuff? Like the miracles and the healings and stuff. The teaching's really good and the music's great, but when do we do the good stuff? That's the living church. That's the living church. So what are we doing Monday to Saturday? What are we passing out? It has a lot to do with what you and I do between Monday and Saturday. It's not just a Sunday show. Be very careful then how you live. Verse 15 of Ephesians 5, after the whole wake up, old sleeper, let Christ shine on you. Let him expose stuff. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. We all know we live in some evil days. I got to tell you something. We can be concerned and it should burden us, but I'm going to tell you something. There's no way that living in the days of evil should just knock us off our rocker. Where we got to be depressed and we got to be mad and we got to be complaining and, oh, the world's so bad. I got to tell you something. Even in the midst of the world so bad, I'm still looking for the outpouring. Look, it's still looking for the revival. Still looking for the restoration. Still looking for renewal. Hey, I still need it in my life. I'm not standing up here pointing a finger like, oh, you in the pew. Nah, this mere man on the platform. Still need renewal, and still need restoration, still need reviving, still need it. As it's been said by the great revivalists, you know, I need to be filled every day because you know what? There's things that keep putting a hole in my bucket. I got to get filled every day because there's things that put a hole in it. And you know what? We don't want the enemy to win over in people's lives. So we join the bucket brigade and we make sure that we got something to pass on so that we can put it out, that we could bring an end to the destruction in somebody's life. And God wins, and they win, and they get to experience that which we keep proclaiming. So what are you passing on? What are you passing on to your kids? What am I passing on to my kids? What are we passing on to our friends? What are we passing on to the community, the acquaintance? What are we passing on? It's a big question. It's a right question. It's a question that I got to ask me. Who are we passing on? Because if you think of the old time, well, I just don't want it to, you know, soak through. It can't be just the old time lecture, friends. We think that's going to transform sinners. Yeah, we're supposed to preach the gospel because without it, no one will hear. And so we're supposed to proclaim it unashamedly and openly. But the other part is, we have got to be able to experience the very thing we proclaim. So that God's Spirit is in what we're saying. Listen, I've heard different speakers over the years. I've heard them say the same thing. And yet, when one of them says it, there is this. It's invisible, but I feel it. It was like there was an anointing and an experience of the Spirit in their life. So when they declared it, it had an impact. That's called anointing, empowerment. And yet I've watched somebody else say the same truth. And it was like, yeah. And it was empty. And it wasn't just in pulpits. It's even in conversation with people. Just conversation like you have with each other. And somebody shares a truth. Yeah, okay. And then I've been with people who also share that truth. And it was like, ooh. Whoa, there's life in that one. The words are the same, but this one had life. They were giving out experience based upon the doctrine, not just proclaiming a doctrine and telling a story. And it had, was like there was no wick, nothing could be lit. We can say the right stuff. But it's about growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Growing in grace is not based upon knowledge, it's based upon experience. And yet our knowledge grows firsthand, not with just information. That's the living church. What good does it do for us, for me, to cry out, oh God, We've heard of your fame. We stand in awe of your deeds. Renew them in our day, in our time. What good is that if I'm just falling asleep and not ready to experience the God of the Word? Rather just kind of read the Word, quote the Word. This Word has all power. It's living and active. You know the verses. But without God breathing on it, breathing on the person, there is no life in it. I've watched it happen with people, and you can argue it, and you can disagree with it, whatever. It's my testimony and what I've seen, and you can discount it all you want. I've watched people come to, whether it's an altar or to my office, or I had to go meet them somewhere, and I've watched it. I've watched them come and even quote the scripture and know it themselves, or they say, I was over here at some time in my life, I heard this truth, and I've watched it. I've watched the Spirit breathe on them because I didn't even say anything of the Word. They already had the knowledge. All we did was listen and respond, suggest what the Holy Spirit was just saying to me to pass on to them like normal conversation. And I watched all of a sudden before my eyes and in the fruitfulness of the Lord, I've watched all of a sudden something change because God's Spirit breathed on it. You're saying, well, I guess then it's only good if God's going to breathe on it, and He'll breathe on what He wants to breathe on. Yeah, get this. He wants to breathe on you. He wants to breathe in your bucket. But if we don't let Him, then you can come to church and quote all you want, but there is no life in you. Not without His Spirit. There is no life in you without His Spirit. You hear that? There is no life in you without His Spirit. Amen. This worship team can come up here and they are talented. Man, are they talented. They are talented week after week. They're talented. And I'm going to tell you something. They can play the songs. It can be an upbeat song. It can be a slow song. It can be a middle of the road song. It could be a hymn. It could be a chorus. It could be a new one. It doesn't matter. They can sing wonderfully and they can harmonize and they can play. But I'm going to tell you this because I've been in enough services over time. I've watched talent, raw talent, just take the platform, talent on its own. Without God's Spirit. And worship stunk. I don't care how much the people clapped. There was no presence of God. And people can clap and jump and all of that, and that's wonderful. But I'd rather have them jump and clap and know the presence of God than just jump and clap because it's talent. And they can sing the right words. You can have somebody else come up and sing the same chorus, and all of a sudden the presence comes rushing in the room. That makes the difference. That's what makes the difference. Because God breathed on it. Because the people took time to receive the breath of life. It wasn't just about posting things on your doorframe. It was about living it on the outside of the doorframe and on the inside of the doorframe. And we can quote Habakkuk, and it will mean nothing unless we're doing something on both sides of the doorframe that match what we're proclaiming. Let's stand up, please, all over this room. God's got a bucket brigade. And that brigade, they are passing something on. Not just in the way of knowledge, but in the way of experience. In the way of experience. My children, They've heard me pray for years, whether it's at the dinner table or whether they overheard me somewhere in the house or whether they have heard me pray in a service or speaking at a camp or conference. Or it doesn't matter. Because at some point, they got to pray. I'm trying to pass something on to them, and they can experience it. I don't want to embarrass my daughter or my mother. They don't know what I was preaching this morning. I didn't tell anybody I was speaking this morning. In fact, my dad asked me on the phone as he was on the way here this morning. I said, well, you have to come and find out. Then he made a joke about, oh, we'll probably sing all morning just because you're not ready. And you'll say the Spirit moved. And I'll say, no, watch this morning. That'll happen. And you'll think I wasn't ready. I watched it this morning. They didn't know what I was going to preach on. Nobody knew. I watched my mother go from the back of where she's sitting and walk up here very diligently up to the back over here to my daughter, her granddaughter, and take her aside, hug her, and pray for her and talk to her up here. Now I'll tell you what I saw with the eyes of my spirit. I saw a woman leave the back of where she was sitting, and she was bringing this with her. Because she wanted to give something to her. She could have waited until this afternoon at lunch or got together or called her. No, it was the moment of the Spirit. The fire was blazing then. And she wants to give her granddaughter something. I doubt that my mother was up here just giving her a bunch of doctrine. Not because she's not smart. She's well studied. She wanted to give her something of the Spirit. Want to pass something on. Because she's got something to give. We're the bucket brigade. But we got to have something in our bucket. And if it's creed, it's empty. You think what the person hurting wants to just hear a sermon? No. They want arms wrapped around them, and they want somebody to give. Because they need an answer! You're sick and you're dying. It's wonderful to hear the doctrine. But give me the experience of healing! Because I'm dying! I'm hurting! Thanks for quoting the scripture! But would you do something to help me? That's what the world's crying. Don't give me this! Let me experience what you're trying to tell me! Don't tell me you love me and care for me! Put groceries on my porch! Don't tell me you pray for me! Wrap your arms around me! Don't just sing on Sunday and then blow me off on Thursday in the marketplace! This is not a Sunday bucket. It's every day. Is your bucket full? Is my bucket full? I don't want to show up at the fire because it's inconvenient. This is not some accessory that we carry around like a purse, or like we wear a tie, or we carry our Bible that looks brand new for 20 years. It's not an accessory. Love to change the chorus, fill my cup, Lord. But fill my bucket doesn't sound good. Please, James, don't rewrite it and work on it. We got to respond to God's Spirit. You got to start bringing your bucket with you. And you got to start visiting each other. And you got to start calling each other. And you got to start passing something on to one another. If you think the only person that's supposed to do that for all these people is the pastor, I'm sorry. Only Jesus could do that. You're called to the mission. You're called to the mission. Because otherwise you're just toting around a bucket. And at first glance, it looks like you got the Christian accessory. People see beyond that very quickly. So if you want to be in the bucket brigade, so to speak, why don't you bow your head and just tell God right where you stand or right where you sit? If you've fallen asleep, then tell him I've fallen asleep. If you need to be woken, then say, please wake me up. Say, God, I need you to fill my bucket with something because my intellectual prowess is empty. It needs experience. It needs fresh revelation of the Spirit of life. We do not want to be a whitewashed tomb. We look good on the outside, but it's just dead men's bones inside. Jesus, you are the life giver. You gave your life that we could have life. You sent your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life. Father, you're perfect in every way. You are the light. Expose me to me. People in this room, expose them to themselves. So that we could see like you see. Not to walk under guilt or condemnation, but to be awakened. Shine on us, Jesus. I want the light of God to shine on us, that we could walk wise, not as unwise, making the most of every opportunity. That we could be a person in your bucket brigade, passing on to our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our friends, our acquaintances, our colleagues, our neighbors, strangers, a bucket that has something in it that's from you, that it has life. God, Whatever's in our bucket that's not from you. Something that you just don't want to be even acquainted with or mixed in with. If we have some attitude within us that you just will not pour into the bucket because you do not want to be associated with it. God, convict me, convict us of it, that we would repent, we would get rid of it, and there would be a free flow of your spirit of life in experience, matching your word in us. That when we say these things, there would be an anointing and an impact and a power to free people. Oh, Jesus, just like you. So that you could renew things in our day, in our time, make them known. Oh, Jesus, in your name, amen. Friends, thanks for being here this morning. I want you to have a great week. I want you to have a week where each morning you're filling up your bucket and you're just pouring it. You're passing it on. God bless you. Take time for each other. Have a great week.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.